Okay, good morning. So 2 weeks ago, the week between Christmas and New Year's, I was praying and asking the Lord what he would have me speak on today. And he gave me a question for us to delve into today. So then last Sunday, Pastor Van stands up and he says, "So, we're not going to share the vision today because my wife is home with one of the kids who are sick." So I asked the Lord, "What should I speak today about today?" And he gave me a question. And I went, "Oh no!" And his question was, what? Who remembers? Do you trust me? My question is, do you really believe? Similar, but not the same. Now, when God asks us a question, does he already know the answer? Yes? So who does he want to get the answer? Us. Yes. So when he said to us last week, "Do you really trust me?" And Pastor Van went through a number of things, he knew the answer, but he wanted us to get the answer. So today when I speak about do I really believe, it's us that he wants to be able to answer that question. Do I really believe what the Word says about him? Do I really believe his promises? Do I really believe that he has good plans for you and I? Do I really believe? A very familiar verse, "For God so loved the world." See, right there, we can stop and pause. Do I really believe that? That God so loved the world. How about God so loved me? Do I really believe that? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who," watch, "believes in him will not perish but he have eternal life." So believe means to put your faith in, to commit to be persuaded, have full assurance and reliance upon, to wholeheartedly throw yourself into. Okay, let me try that one more time. To believe means to put your faith in, to commit to be persuaded, to have full assurance and reliance upon, to wholeheartedly throw yourself into. So when we're investigating today the truth, the answer to the question, do you and I, really believe that God is who he says he is, that he'll keep his promises, that his word is true, that's what we're asking. Am I wholeheartedly throwing myself into that? Am I persuaded? Do I have full assurance? Do you and I really believe Jesus, the Son of God? So we're going to look at some scriptural examples this morning. We're just going to touch on one of the examples that Pastor Van gave last week, and then we're going to go other places. So you already know the whole story of Abraham. So I'm not going to repeat that story. But we're going to go back here where God gave him a promise. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram, his name hadn't been changed yet, in a vision, and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good is all your blessings when I don't even have a son? I have no heir. You have given me no descendants of my own." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be the heir." And then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars, if you can." Anybody ever try that? That's how many descendants you will have. Come on. He has none. And he's starting to lose hope that he'll ever have any. And God says your descendants will be like the stars. So what did Abram do? He had the same choice that all of us have when God gives us a promise. He could have said, yeah, we'll wait and see. He could have said, yeah, I don't really believe that. The word tells us, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Come on. So having full assurance, believing God's promise, actually resulted in God proclaiming him as righteous. From John 6. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son, listen, and believes in him, should have eternal life. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Not might, not could, has eternal life. You believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Who is that? That's all us-ins. Okay? We didn't see Jesus physically resurrected, but we believe. The opposite, though, is also true. So believing helps us move into his promises. Disbelief keeps us from moving into his promises. How do we know that from Scripture? Let's think about the Israelites. They had a couple-week journey across the desert, and they were heading into the promised land. But did they enter? Let's find out why they didn't. If you want to follow along, this is Numbers 13. Numbers 13. So remember, God gave them that promise. He gave it to them through Joseph. And then he gave it to them through Moses. And they were heading toward a destination. They were heading toward all that he had promised them. And they even described the land where they were going as a land filled with milk and honey. And so they get to the place, and right over the border. Okay, so they got right here, right to the border of the promised land. And they said, before we go in, let's send some spies ahead to see what the land looks like. So the spies go in, spend some time walking around the promised land, visiting different cities and countries, and picking some of the fruit, and they bring it back to them, and now they're ready to report to the whole congregation. One cluster of grapes was so large, it took two men to carry it on a pole. Come on, that's grapes. That's grapes, right? So they're standing there now, ready to give their report. Verse 27, Numbers 13, verse 27. Thus they told him, we went into the land where you sent us. And it certainly does flow with milk and honey. Now, obviously, that was a metaphor, okay? The land didn't actually have honey as its rivers and milk and, you know, all that happening. But that was a way of explaining that it was abundant and fruitful and beautiful. And this is its fruit. And they're holding up these grapes and other fruits that they brought back. And then they did something that we do. They threw in a however. However, see, we do that, don't we? This is what God's promised. However, However, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and they're large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Okay, that was giants. So we saw giants there. Amalek is in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." Which person was believing God's promises? But the men who had gone up with him said, "Well, we can't go against these people. They're too strong." Now the whole congregation had to make a choice. Are you going to believe Joshua and Caleb? You're going to believe the other group of spies. We can go into this land that God promised us. We can't go into the land that God promised us. What had God promised them over and over? We have it in Exodus. We have it in Leviticus. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, and I will be your God. And it will come about when you enter the land, says the Lord, as he has promised that you will observe the Passover." See, that's the promise they had, and that was the journey they were on. But they got there, and when they came against an obstacle, they did a however. Did they believe God and believe his promises? Let's follow the story. We're now in Numbers 14. "Then the congregation lifted up their voices, and the people wept. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to their leaders, 'Would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or at least died in the wilderness.'" Come on. See, God promised, however, there's giants and armies and fortified cities, so maybe it would have been better if we just died. "And why is the Lord bringing us to this land? We'll just fall by the sword. Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Maybe we should just return to Egypt." Did they remember what their lives were like in Egypt? They were in slavery. Come on. "So they said to one another, 'Hey, let's appoint a leader and let him take us back to Egypt.'" They didn't like where their leadership was taking them or trying to take them. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of the assembly and the congregation of the sons of Israel. And Joshua and Caleb, who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and they said, 'This land that we pass through is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased to us, he will bring us into this land. He will give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are our prey.'" So just like when Jesus was in the boat and he said to his disciples, "We're gone to the other side," you're gone to the other side regardless of what storm you go through, because Jesus said you were gone to the other side. God said you will enter the promised land, and when you enter the promised land, you're going to celebrate the Passover. So who was going to help them enter the promised land? God was. That was an easy question. I need to try that again. I only saw one person say God. So if God promised to take them into the promised land and that they were going to receive the promised land, who was going to help them overcome all obstacles? Much better. "Do not fear the people of the land, for they are our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. And listen, the Lord is with us." Do not fear them. All right, down to verse 20. So they did not believe God, did not believe his promises. What did they believe about their situation? They believed their situation was bigger than God. They believed the giants were more powerful than God. The armies could not be beaten by God. So they chose to look at the howevers. And the Lord was not at all happy that that was their response. And he actually wanted to wipe them out. And Moses said, no, no. So in verse 20, so the Lord said, I pardon them according to your word, Moses. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet had put me to the test and not listened to my voice, they shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and because he followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he and his descendants will enter and take possession of. So out of that entire generation of people, only Joshua and Caleb entered the land. Only Joshua and Caleb received what was promised. The rest of them roamed around the wilderness for 40 years. Come on, 40 years. Because they chose not to believe God. So I want to step into all that he's promised us here. How about you? So remember his question to us this morning. Do you really believe? Do you and I really believe? Do we believe God? Do we believe his promises? Do we believe he's bigger than our situations? Do we believe he's bigger than what we hear from the doctor? Do we believe he's bigger than what we see in the economy? Is he bigger than the wars that we see here and there? Is he bigger than all of those situations? Can he make a way through the desert? When we are persuaded that he is bigger than and more powerful than, we make a way then for him to do the miraculous. Because when they did enter the land, God had to empower them. And he helped them defeat nation after nation after nation. He was constantly involved in what they were doing, and he did the miraculous on their behalf. All right, jumping to an example in the New Testament. So Jesus is walking through a town. Two blind men hear. Obviously, they couldn't see Jesus coming, but they could hear in the crowd and people yelling out, and they knew Jesus was coming, and what did they do? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped, and he walked up to them. Of all the things he could have asked, what did he ask? Do you believe that I am able to do this? He didn't ask that every time. But they, in this case, they had to answer that question. Same question he's asking us at CLCC this morning. Do you believe that I can do this? Jesus touched their eyes and said, be it done to you, come on, according to your faith, being fully persuaded that he is able to do it. And what happened? Their eyes were opened. So what does praying about a situation and believing look like? Do we have an example in the scripture? Praying about something and continuing to believe. So Elijah, the prophet, he was serving under a wicked king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel. And God had told him to announce that it was not going to rain. So I want you to think about this with me. So we have had summers, not for a while, but we've had some summers where it didn't rain for almost a month. And they said we were in drought conditions. Do you remember some of those? Lawns were all brown. The water tables were low. That was a month. Okay. What about if that happened June, July, and August? Wonder what the crops would look like. So picture that. No rain for 3 months. Okay, now we're entering into winter. September, October, November, December, January, February, March. No snow. So no rain, no snow. April, May, June. We've now completed 1 year with no precipitation. Okay, what are things going to look like now? Streams are going to start to dry up. Ponds are going to start to dry up. Animals are not going to have a place to get water. Another whole entire year. Okay? July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. Now it's 2 years. I can't even imagine because now rivers are down really low. Lakes are down really low. Things are probably getting polluted. Animals are dying. Folks, 3 years. June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, and June. 3 years they have not had rain. So the king and queen had already decided, if we see Elijah, we're going to take care of him because he proclaimed this and God did it. So Ahab and his servant went out, and Ahab said to his servant, let's see if we can find any grass or any water so that we don't have to start killing livestock. So they're out looking. And the servant and Elijah see each other. Somehow, I don't know, I mean God in his providence, they saw each other. And Elijah said, hey, would you go tell King Ahab that I want to talk to him? He's like, why would you do that to me? If I go to tell the king that, he might just kill me outright. If I tell him that and you don't show up, I will be dead. And Elijah said, no, I'm going to meet him. So he goes and he says to Elijah, because the word of the Lord came to him, and the Lord said, okay, now it's going to rain again. So he goes and he finds the king and he says, king, it's going to rain again. Okay? All right, now I have to find where I am in my notes, so give me just a second. Okay, so when God spoke to Elijah and said, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. Do you think that was a little scary of a word? And wouldn't he have had to been completely persuaded that God was going to do what he promised to do before you go and tell the king, okay, you haven't had rain for 1, 2, 3 years, and now it's going to start to rain. He had to be fully persuaded. Was there any evidence at all that it was going to rain? None. So Elijah says to the king, so let me catch you up with me here, because I know some of you like to follow along. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. What a proclamation this is. Elijah says to the king, to Ahab, go eat and drink. Okay, things are going to get better. You can stop being depressed and concerned and worried and trying to save your cattle. Go up, eat and drink. For there is the sound of a heavy shower. Folks, there was nothing. There was nothing. No evidence that it was going to rain. How do I know this? Because Elijah now takes his servant and goes up to the top of the mountain, and it says that he gets to the top of the mountain. God had told him it was going to rain, and he bows down, bows his head, and he's praying. And in this prayer position, he says to his servant, go over there and look out to the sea, because that's where rain comes from. Okay? So servant goes over, looks, he's looking, not even a cloud in the sky. Okay? So he comes back to Elijah, and Elijah's in his prayer position, remember? And he says, okay, did you see the rain coming? Nope. No rain coming. Oh, okay. So now you have a decision to make. Are you going to believe what God said to you or not? Okay? He just told the king he heard a heavy rainstorm because God told him a heavy rainstorm was coming. Servant goes over again. He's looking. Comes back. Elijah looks up. Nope. So Elijah says, I'm going to go pray some more. You go a third time. Three times. Okay. So he goes a third time. Comes back. Elijah thinks, oh, this is it. This is it. I've done three times the prayer now. Three. Nope. Nothing. See, now right there is probably about as far as I would go. Then I'd be saying, okay, God, this is ridiculous now. I've told the king. I've told my servant, the king's gone home, he's told his wife, we all know Jezebel, we're not even going to go there, she's upset, everybody's expecting this, no evidence. So he says, okay, go fourth time. Okay, I better take my time, because if I go back and tell him four times that there's nothing. So he goes back, Elijah looks up, nope. Oh. Okay, come on. You with me? Five times. Comes back. Nothing. Five times, Mike. She says, okay. Just try one more. Okay. Six times. Looking. Come on, I don't want to go back and tell him nothing. Comes back. Okay. You saw something this time? I'm sure you did. Nothing. What would we do now? Would we continue to believe? Or would I say, you know, God, that must not have been you. I know I ate that chili and maybe my stomach and, you know, it just wasn't you. Okay, seven times. So he goes over, comes back. He says, Elijah, I saw a cloud way, way out as big as a fist. How would I take that? I'd say, well, God, that's not what you promised. You promised a heavy rainstorm. So I should see the whole sky filled with rain-soaked clouds. And then when I see that, Then I'll announce it. He saw no evidence any of those times. And God had said that I'm going to bring enough rain that it's going to take care of the 3-year drought. He turns to the servant. So remember, all they saw was a cloud the size of a hand coming up over the sea in their direction. Hurry! Go to King Ahab and tell him to climb into his chariot and get home, because if he doesn't hurry, the rain will stop him. What kind of an announcement is that? He saw a little teeny cloud. But just that much evidence convinced him that God was going to fulfill the entire thing. So he said, go tell the king that he better get moving or he's not going to make it back home before the heavy rains. Then the word tells us the black clouds rolled in, heavy winds came, and a tremendous rainstorm. Come on. So where along the line do you and I stop believing? First time we don't see it, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. How about if it took 8, 9, or 10? And then you just see a little teeny evidence that what God promised is going to happen. And you announce it. Yeah, see? Okay, I'm believing God for $10,000 to help me pay this bill and get out of debt. And I got $50. So yay! It's done. God's doing it. Come on. Right? I'm in there with all of you. We're believing God to bring revival. We're believing God to bring in more people. Okay? So when we start to see little things happening and two or three people come in, are we going to say, yep, God did it. There we are. We're at the start of it. Here we go. So this was as challenging to me as it was to all of you. I knew the question 2 weeks ago, and I worked on the sermon all week, and now I just preached it to you the same time I'm preaching it to myself. So we have to make that decision. Even when the evidence isn't there yet, that we're going to choose to believe that God will keep his promises. That God is bigger and more powerful than any situation we're involved in. Even if it looks like giants, even if it looks like fortified cities, even if it looks like there's no way, when God goes with us, all of that changes. And what we want to be very careful that we don't do what the majority of the spies did. And that was to say, well, we know God promised this, however, so we need to catch ourselves with the howevers. All right, so Stacy, you guys switched, huh? My wife is back there, and Pastor Kurt's in here now, so, okay. I have a song for us to do here in a minute, but I want to share a testimony first. So this is really exciting that the Lord chose to do this when I'm preaching about this. So let me tell you about my knee. So whenever I go to the doctor to talk about anything, he goes, well, Steve, you are over 60 now. It's like, I don't want to hear that. Just stop with that, you're over 60 now, right? But I've had this knee, left knee, that has been bothering me probably 2 to 3 years. And most of the time, it was a dull ache. But occasionally, it would get to the point that I used it, and I overused it, and I'd be walking, and I'd get this, with no warning, I'd get this jolt of electricity in my knee that felt like I was getting shocked, and my knee would no longer hold me up. So I'd be walking along, and I'd go like this, and if I couldn't catch myself soon enough, I was down on the ground. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to start wearing a brace. So I've been wearing a brace for 2, 3 years, and sometimes it's bad enough that I have to use the one where you bring the straps around the front and the back, but usually it's just a sleeve. So anyway, last Sunday, do you remember what Pastor Van prayed for at the end of the service? Left legs. And I was in the sound room last week, and when he said, anybody have trouble in your left leg? So two people raised their hand. I thought, oh, good, that's who it's for this morning. And then he said, and maybe even in your knee. So the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, yeah, are you going to receive prayer for this? I said, okay, I can do this in the sound room. So I didn't raise my hand because he had already started praying, but I prayed along with him. And 2 days a week, I work from home, so I'm sitting most of the day. So that was Monday. Tuesday, I taught at the high school on the third floor. I forgot to wear my brace. And I was up and down the third floor a couple times, saw Ashton out next to the pool, kidding around with one of his friends, and I think I scared him. But anyway, I got home and I thought, I didn't wear my brace, and my knee didn't bother me all day. No dull ache, no leaving me fall down three flights of stairs, nothing. So I thought, huh. Okay, so Wednesday I'm over here at the church. Because it felt good on Tuesday, I forgot my brace again. And I'm up and down because my office is now upstairs, so up and down and around. Okay, well, we're going to try it again. So one of those nights, we started going to the gym now. We didn't through COVID, and we used to before. So Stacy and I joined the gym. And we've been trying to go twice a week. Went to the gym, go to step on the treadmill, and I'm like, oh, I forgot my brace. It's been feeling so good, completely forgot my brace. We'll try this and see how it goes. Did the whole treadmill, got off the treadmill, leg hasn't bothered me since. So the knee is completely healed. Come on! So yay! Yay. Yeah, I really put it to work this week. Yes, yes. So we're going to spend some time talking with God during the song. And you know how this works, because we do this every couple weeks. This is for your time to reflect on the Word. Allow the Word to work in your spirit. Allow the Word to convince your mind. And for you to tell God, okay, I'm choosing to believe. You made the promise that my descendants were going to be as many as the stars, and I have none. And years have gone by, and I still have none. And more years have gone by, and I still have none. But like Abram, I'm going to choose to believe. You have that conversation with God. If you want to come up front, if you want to kneel at your seat, if you want to stay in your chair, however you can best meet with God during this time, that's what we want you to do. And then we'll close the service in prayer.